people just need your love. They just need your love. They just need your presence. They just need your authentic you to show up and say, I'm here with you in this. Let it all out. It's safe. I can hold it.
If you don't have the capacity to come out here and volunteer or to be with people who are in their grief, if you're on the other side of the country and don't know what to do, heal yourself, find your purpose, and birth it into this world and make this place a better place.
And so the call here is, yes, heal your consciousness so that these things don't manifest into the external world. Yes, more love, choose love, send love, radical love. Yes, conscious prayer, affirmative prayer, and action. Physically, we are needed in our communities.
If anything, I hope that you take from this episode is your capacity to impact somebody's life and to just hold space and love them, to hold space and love ourselves. You have the capacity to bring consciousness to your life, to your region, to activate your grid and do your part. And that can just be as simple as loving one another.
Whatever you can find gratitude for, don't feel guilt. That's not helping. Feel gratitude, because as you're grateful for it, more of it becomes available to others. And be so grateful for it that it fuels you to get out there and help those who need it most.
Welcome home to the Loving Consciously podcast. My name is Amaris.
And my name is Eric.
And if you are like us, nobody taught you how to love. We are best friends and life partners here to vulnerably and authentically share our journey while exploring the sacred realms of love, consciousness, relationships, spirituality, and all that they encompass.
The intention of this show is to help you consciously relate to yourself, others, and everything else in this universe. Together, we can embody a more intentional and fulfilling way of giving and receiving love.
Loving consciously. Through 8 years together, we have had the opportunity to overcome deep patterning and programming, as well as trauma related to mental health, addiction, pregnancy loss, infidelity, and immense grief. After 6 years of experiencing these challenges with no knowledge on how to heal or love each other, we separated.
After us both spiritually awakening and recommitting, we formed our conscious partnership and have spent the last 2 years cultivating a divine union founded on unconditional love, devotion, and commitment to personal growth.
Thank you for joining us and doing the work alongside us as we explore this beautiful world of love and consciousness to co-create a new world of love.
As you courageously walk this path, remember to have grace with yourself and know that you have both the capacity to love consciously and the power to always choose love.
Namaste and welcome back to the Loving Consciously podcast. When we last recorded a personal episode, it was 12 days ago, and we were on our way to Nashville. We spent some time in Nashville, we spent some time in Knoxville, and then we were finally able to make the drive into Asheville. If you are not in any way familiar, Asheville is the town in western North Carolina that was absolutely devastated by Hurricane Helene 1 month ago yesterday. We have had the opportunity to come be in this community for several days now, to be volunteering and be of service. And we wanted to come on and record this special episode today, sharing some of what we are experiencing here, and really a call to action. A call to action, as always, for more love. A call to action, as always, for more consciousness. And a call to action to not only support the people here, but to support all of the people on this planet. Because what is happening here is a reflection of what is happening internally inside the collective. It's really interesting and kind of challenging to talk about it and not get emotional. From my experience, as we drove into Asheville, the closer and closer that we got, we were in the westernmost town about 30 miles out. There was a moment, and we both felt it, a very palpable energy shift. It was like entering an energetic bubble or cloud of gray, somber, wailing, grieving energy is how I experienced it. I experienced it in my mind as hearing the wailing of Mother Earth, of the people. That first night, we both were incredibly tired.
in shock coming into this town and seeing the devastation. And this is after a month of cleaning up and working on it. The sheer amount of damage and trees down and pain that is in this town right now is really hard to bear witness to. I reached out to several of our closest and trusted friends who are energy and grid workers, and I asked for their advice, and some things that I got that are really potent that I want to share is to bear witness. And that alone right there is something that the large majority of the collective is not able to do at this time. To truly sit and bear witness to the devastation and destruction and hold space for it and allow it to be without judgment, without reaction, without taking it into your experience. You know, we can be human and we can have emotions about it, but just bearing witness to this community and these people. Another thing that was said to me was hold space for the new growth. And if that isn't a beautiful perspective, I don't know what is. To be able to sit here in this and hold the vision of the beautiful new vision that this community will be when they do recover fully. Another thing that was said to me was your presence is enough. You don't have to do anything. Just by bringing our consciousness and our love here into this space, we spiritually, energetically, and emotionally support this community because that's what they need. They don't need money. They don't need donations. And it's shocking to see how absolutely supported they've been in those ways. They need love. They need love and they need support.
It's been such a polarizing experience because on one hand, there is this deep heaviness and this grief that is surrounding the city and the community. People here are tired. And then on the other hand, you experience this deep, deep love, this gratitude, and this coming together of a community to support one another in such a difficult time. And while we went to the Unity Spiritual Center here in Asheville for Sunday service, it was shared with us that a traditional grief ceremony and circle was held for that community. And what was supposed to be a 2-hour circle of people coming in, holding space, and then authentically and vulnerably just grieving. And I mean wailing, crying, screaming, all of the emotions that come with that, and having a container to be held for that. This ceremony actually took 4 hours. Upwards of 4 hours. And it really speaks to the love of this community and the intention that they can sit in that grief and feel it completely, allow it to move through them and hold space for each other without allowing it to permeate beyond that container, and to use that as fuel for coming together and for rebuilding and for utilizing this catalyst as an opportunity to really wake up.
Yeah, that was our second day in Asheville. We went to that service and it was one of the most profound talks I've ever had the pleasure of witnessing. You can go look at that on Unity of Blue Ridge on their YouTube. This would have been Sunday, the 27th of October. So you can find that service, Reverend Megan, who is exquisite. And of course, the service was about the frequency of love and resonating at love. And what we resonate at internally is what we create externally. You know, that day, I don't think I've been that emotionally exhausted in a really long time because we had this beautiful service and we got to bear witness to this community, you know, moving in their grief on the 1-month anniversary. And then we got to meet with both a friend that we knew before and a friend that someone who knew someone in this town connected us with. And we got to hold space for these two individuals. One who wasn't deeply affected by the storm, though everyone here was. When we say not deeply affected, we mean they still have a home. Didn't even realize that they hadn't had space held for them yet. And so we got the opportunity to do that, and we got to see on this person's face, oh yeah, I have been holding space for everyone else for the last month. I still don't have drinking water. And that's one thing I really want to drive home. This wasn't just a natural disaster. This was explained to me by a person's father who was a, I think, second in command meteorologist in one of the military branches and was like one of the top commanders during Katrina. This was a geological event. And if you're not aware of what that means, a geological event means this storm was so powerful that it geologically changed the region of this Appalachian area. It moved mountains. It moved rivers. That is how powerful the trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of gallons of water and tornadoes that came inland to western North Carolina was. And so as I'm sitting here holding space for this person I know who hasn't had space held for them, and then we leave that 2-hour lunch and we go and hold space for someone we've just met who's exhausted and crying and is like, I'm blessed. Mind you, again, blessed in her situation means her basement flooded and her beautiful property is in really, really poor shape with down trees everywhere and her roof on her shed is gone. That's blessed. And to see how exhausted these people are and that we have the honor to come in and share love with them. And you know, the words will fail me right now because it's important, right? In this show, we amplify love, we amplify consciousness, and we always will amplify focusing on what we want to create. And we need to hold space for Asheville right now because these beings don't have water. Still, to this day, 1 month and 1 or 2 days later. On our third day in Asheville, which was yesterday, we had the opportunity to volunteer. We basically volunteered from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., mostly at a comfort station. A comfort station is, there are 5 of them in the city. They have laundry and showers and emergency supplies. The National Guard is there giving out water because they don't not have water. They have highly toxic red, brown, or yellow chemical water coming out of their sink. And so it's not potable in any way. It's not potable for dishes, for washing your laundry, for washing your hands. So you essentially only have water to flush your toilet. And for a month, 32 days of not having water, it is an absolute crisis. Homes are devastated. They're unlivable. We now have things like mold being an issue and mold remediation. All these people's homes who flooded. So it's a health crisis. It's just a crisis all around. And all day we had the blessing and opportunity to sit there and hug people, let them cry with us, let them vulnerably share in a safe space with someone who wasn't attached to that pain, who could hold that pain and not make it about them, who could hold that pain and return it with love and consciousness in a way that most of our first responders, though well-intentioned, are not appropriately trained to do.
It was such a blessing, and it really goes back to what we were talking about earlier about the frequency of love and how it does reverberate out. Sitting there and consciously holding this frequency of love in the space of people who are in the midst of one of the most catalytic events of their lives, navigating emotions that they haven't really been faced with up until this point, allowed so many people to shift out of the state of fear, out of the state of grief, and really all of these negative emotions that they were working through, and to feel into what is being created, feel into where they're being guided now in their life, because so many of these people lost everything in this physical reality. We've heard of stories of people being trapped in the mountainous regions in their properties still, you know, a month later, with, you know, FEMA saying, we're likely not going to be able to get to you for 6 months, and relying on locals going and taking supplies and grassroots efforts coming together and being a community. One person that comes to mind is a beautiful woman who walked 2.5 miles with no shoes through the forest to get to the comfort station, to ask for supplies and ask for support. And these comfort stations don't have shoes. They don't have clothing. They have basic needs like water and MREs and showers. And this person, on the verge of tears, was like, I need shoes. I can't walk. There are seven other people who are elderly who can't get here, and I need help. And to be able to meet this person with love and go and get her shoes, I visibly saw hope come back to this human's existence. Just by holding a container and allowing her to fully express what she was going through and to be in a state where she could be reassured and say, I'm with you in this. We're going to get you some shoes and we're going to get you the support you need. The light came back to this human. And that is the power of our consciousness. That is the power of the frequency of love. We can deeply impact somebody's life by the frequency that we are operating on and the consciousness that we choose to live in.
Yeah, it was such a beautiful moment. And, you know, it really comes to, you are a human being. You are a piece of this one big grand collective family before anything else. And we watched how Eric and I have such a different frame of consciousness than the greater masses, as most conscious people do. How that played out in that moment, because in that moment, lovingly so, doing their job, because them three are actual Red Cross employees. Well, I don't know if they're paid, but they actually work for the Red Cross, who was manning the donation deployment to people. Started referring this person to, you know, this place is handing out vouchers, you can go, you know, here down the road. And the woman naturally, of course, said, I don't have shoes, and got really upset and walked away and went to go into the tent to talk with FEMA. It was an immediate moment for us of, I don't really care if I'm a volunteer, I've agreed to be here. Like, we're going and getting her shoes. We're leaving immediately, you know, and you did. You went and got her shoes. And it's not about, like, credit or, oh, look at what we did, right? It's about, that is the human thing to do. Because if anybody ever walks up to you and does not have food, water, shelter, or shoes, we should be doing something about that. And there's two things that I really want to touch on here after I share one other really impactful story. I had dozens of people come up to me yesterday with so much shame asking for a shower. And I had the opportunity to offer hugs. And some took it, some didn't. A lot of them did eventually. And a lot of tears and just being able to hold them and just allow it and hold them in so much conscious love while they cried on my shoulder. And then seeing their faces when they came out of the shower and said what a glorious shower it was, because these are really nice, warm shower pods. And, you know, it just really goes to show, people just need your love. They just need your love. They just need your presence. They just need your authentic you to show up and say, I'm here with you in this. Let it all out. It's safe. I can hold it. I can contain it. Two other things I really wanted to touch on. The first being something that's going around this community that I think is really impactful for this community, being this Loving Consciously community, all of you, to hear is guiltitude. And what guiltitude is the new human emotion for all of these people and for most people who don't feel it on a normal day, of guilt and gratitude together. This deep sense of guilt for, I didn't lose everything. I only lost my car or my basement or my roof, you know? And then this deep gratitude for not having lost everything. And so it's this like emotion of, I feel so terrible because this is a really close-knit community. I feel so terrible and I feel so grateful. And I don't know what that, I don't know how to hold both of those, right? That is very complex human relating. And we've had the opportunity to sit in that and encourage people to choose a higher, more loving perspective and remind them guilt doesn't serve anyone. And at the same side of that coin, if you're listening to this, feeling bad for the people of Asheville, feeling sad, while it's normal and allow the emotion to flow, but identifying with that and staying in that, choosing guilt, choosing anger, that is not helping anyone. Because the only thing that the people of Asheville really need is love.
Mm, that's absolutely true. And here's the thing about guilt, is that guilt is not an inherently bad emotion. It is a natural occurrence when we witness the suffering of our fellow humans, because we are connected. We're all energetically and spiritually connected. And so when something happens to somebody else, it is natural to feel guilt, because that is the empathetic response. The issue lies when we identify with that guilt and sink into that emotion and use that to distract ourselves from actually doing something about it. And that's when we transition from guilt into shame. And when we make that transition from guilt into shame, we then take that energy and we amplify the negative. We make it about us. And we sit in these negative emotions thinking, I'm doing the right thing because I'm feeling sadness and guilt in my experience, and so I'm with them, right? That isn't true. What guilt is meant to be used for is the fuel to make changes. That is the beauty of guiltitude. The guilt that comes in, that acts as a fire that we then amplify with gratitude to then go out and make significant changes in this world. Because that is what these events are pushing us to do. That is what suffering is pushing us to do. It's to feel and hold all of this, and then to choose to show up for our fellow humans, to hold space, to go out and volunteer, to find our purpose and live it. Because that is one of the most important things that we can all do as a community. If you don't have the capacity to come out here and volunteer or to be with people who are in their grief, if you're on the other side of the country and don't know what to do, heal yourself, find your purpose, and birth it into this world and make this place a better place.
That was beautiful, love. You know, in the middle of our comfort station volunteer shift yesterday, we stepped away for a few hours to both purchase some donation supplies from donations that we collected and then go volunteer at another organization for a few hours, which is an interfaith ministry. And we were packaging food boxes. And what I heard from the staff there was the sheer amount of food boxes that are needed. I believe it was upwards of 180 per day. The amount of need that is out there is mind-blowing. And the amount of abundance out there, you could never perceive how much abundance there is. There is no shortage of supplies here. There's warehouses of donations. People showed up with that. There's so much food. This organization said they had 3 warehouses of backstock food and supplies. There is a shortage of people doing something about it. There is a shortage of getting it into the hands that need it. And I'm gonna own this. I have not been a volunteer up until this point for much of my life. In fact, the last time that I really truly volunteered was for community service for probation when I didn't have a choice. And I've been really turned off from it since then. This has changed my life. This will be a consistent and regular part of our life. And we do a lot to support this planet. We leave everywhere better than we found it. We pick up trash. We, you know, keep water and things in our cars to give to those who are asking for things on the street. And it's not enough. every single one of us has a duty as a being on this planet to get out there and help our brothers and sisters because they need it. They need it. They need you right now. They need us right now. They need our love. They need our support. Yes. Oh, you can pray. Oh, you can donate money. Physically, we are needed in our communities. Look around. Poverty and addiction and houselessness and all of these things are plaguing this planet. And it's a consciousness problem, yes. And it needs love and it needs prayer. And we have to put action behind that. And that is what this experience is teaching me. You know, I thought that I was coming here to bring my love and to help support this community, and I am. But the reciprocity of Western North Carolina, I cannot give y'all enough love. Wow, this community. The love and welcoming and gratitude and transformation that I have received from being here, I will never be the same. I want to live here. Like, this community is unreal. So beautiful. And Asheville, you just went through, I can't even find the words to describe what this town just went through. And it is still one of the most beautiful towns I've ever seen, in spite of miles on miles on miles of thousands and thousands and thousands of downed trees that just absolutely break my heart. It is beautiful. It's just beautiful. And so the call here is, yes, heal your consciousness so that these things don't manifest into the external world. Yes, more love, choose love, send love, radical love. Yes, conscious prayer, affirmative prayer, and action. Because we've got the love, we've got the consciousness and the prayer, right? But if we don't have the action, it kind of stifles it. It stifles the effect that we can have. And so this is an invitation to do that. And, you know, tonight we get the opportunity to volunteer at a shelter, and we're volunteering. It's actually like transitional living for people coming out of incarceration, and then they also have a family shelter. And we're helping at dinner time, and we get to, our task is literally the family dorm support. We are going to hold babies and play with kiddos while their parents make dinner. That is what they need. They were like, this is what we need. I'm sold. And then tomorrow we will be back at that comfort station at 7 o'clock in the morning, hugging people, walking them to a warm shower, and listening. It's really interesting because we are, again, the guiltitude, right? We are so blessed. I'm sitting here listening to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people come to this comfort station and not have water. Many of them left for a month and are now returning because school just went back after a month. These kids were out of school, which we all know how that impacts people. And here we are, one of the very blessed ones, in the 5% of the city. 95% of the city doesn't have safe water. And I'm questioning the 5% because we're in it. And last night I took a shower and it was burning my skin and my face was red. So we won't be using this water anymore. And that's where it's deemed safe. So you can imagine where it's unsafe. We were seeing people come in with rashes because they didn't know any better and they'd been showering in it and they now have chemical rashes on their face. And so I just invite some gratitude in this moment for your warm shower, for your bed, for anything you have, whatever you can find gratitude for. Don't feel guilt. That's not helping. Feel gratitude, because as you're grateful for it, more of it becomes available to others. And be so grateful for it that it fuels you to get out there and help those who need it most.
Gratitude is the attitude that gets us through the night. And that is a beautiful quote from a song by Londrell called Gratitude. I would encourage you to listen to it. It's a very powerful song. But it's very true. Gratitude is the emotion that we utilize to make tangible changes in this world. It gets us out of our victim mentality and really grounds us into the present of what we have in our life to be grateful for. And then when we are in a state of gratitude for our own existence, we now have the frequency to go and impact other people. And that, if anything, I hope that you take from this episode is your capacity to impact somebody's life. And that doesn't just mean victims of disaster relief or war or some of these high catalytic moments. It means our friends, our families. You know, conscious relating, which we talk about a lot on this show, is being able to sit with our brothers and sisters, no matter the perceived magnitude of what their experience is, and to just hold space and love them, to hold space and love ourselves. And in journeying across this country and talking with so many different people and so many communities, visiting cities, the one thing that I feel the absence of the most is consciousness. It's people going out and living in a conscious way. And when we see it in the pockets that we do see across the country, it is so impactful that it can change the entire dynamic of a city. Let that sit with you for a minute. We have been to cities where there was almost no consciousness, and the energetics of that city were very low and the suffering very high. And we've been to cities with tiny little pockets of consciousness forming, these little buds like in spring, of flowers ready to bloom. And the entire city felt alive. Most of the people in that city were not aware of the consciousness being birthed in their space of living, but they felt it. There was a livelihood to the people that was different. You have the capacity to be that bud in your pocket of the world. You have the capacity to bring consciousness to your life, to your region, to activate your grid and do your part. And that can just be as simple as loving one another. So thank you for walking this journey with us of love. Thank you for answering the call. Thank you for choosing gratitude. And thank you for loving one another.
We are sending you so much love from Asheville. And Asheville, to the friends that we've made here, the people far and wide, you're beautiful. And you have taught me how to love consciously deeper. And I am forever grateful for the opportunity to be here, to see your beautiful city, your beautiful community. I have no doubt that you are already and will recover from this. And I just am so honored to be here and be a part of this city for the time that we are. And so we love you, Asheville, and we're right here with you, as is all of the conscious community. And with love, we are getting through this together.